The text is from the gospel reading. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. Here ends the text. In 1975, Judy Collins recorded "Send in the Clowns." The song says, "Send in the clowns, where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns." It's a theater reference. When a show isn't going well, the answer is to send in the clowns. Well, what does that have to do with a text that highlights Jesus healing people? Feeling better in sickness, cheering up, looking on the bright side, that is what most people want. You might have seen that Seinfeld episode where an acquaintance of his is quite sick in the hospital. Seinfeld is asked if he could go see him and make him feel better. You know, send in the clowns. He does, and despite being a stand-up comedian, Seinfeld can't get so much as a smile from the guy. Seinfeld feels defeated, a failure. So he goes back, and this time he has the man rolling with laughter. The punchline is that the guy literally dies of laughter. Do you think that Seinfeld episode has an off-the-wall premise? Not hardly. Over the years, I've been asked by people to go see someone in the hospital to cheer them up, as if I'm some sort of stand-up comedian. Usually, it's a member asking for a family member or friend who is unchurched, or we might say today, underchurched. I've made such visits, and usually, I can get them smiling. But I dare not speak of life and death, of sin and grace, of heaven and hell. When I have, I'm either met with blank stares or, "Look, I don't want any of that blankety blank blank stuff." When all else fails, send in the clowns. But why is a pastor viewed as one of the clowns? Well, you know why. What else can he really do? He has no medical knowledge. He can't dispense medicine. Has he ever healed anyone? The only thing he might be able to do, in the eyes of the world, is to make the sick person feel better. So send in the clowns. There ought to be clowns. Well, no, there ought to be healing. But since the pastor can't do that, the least he can do is cheer them up. We have to deal with this head on. Increasingly, the world is asking, just what good is the church? Increasingly, the church bureaucrats are asking, where are the numbers? These two questions are answered by the largest Christian congregation in the world. It's located in South Korea. Yeouido Full Gospel Church has over 800,000 members, over 200,000 worship each Sunday. Joel Osteen, eat your heart out. Their secret to huge numbers is giving people what they want. No, they don't send in the clowns. They send in the healers. The congregation is Pentecostal. Healing is their specialty. By the way, Joel Osteen's 30,000 member church in Houston is also Pentecostal. I'm not. Unlike them, these hands haven't been God's instrument to heal so much as a pimple. I've never prayed and certainly knew that my prayers would heal. I've never healed on demand either. By the way, not even the apostles did that. While Paul healed some,
He didn't heal Epaphroditus, but rather waited till God had mercy on him. So, what good am I? Maybe I can at least make someone feel better, more optimistic, put a smile on their face. Where are the clowns? There ought to be clowns. Send in the clowns. Look carefully at our text. Jesus was not about making people feel better or even about healing them. Jesus left Capernaum when everyone was seeking him. Don't you see the pathos here? Jesus had been late into the night healing many of various diseases and casting out demons. The text says the whole town was gathered at Jesus' door. Last week's text ended where this week's text picked up. And that ended last week telling us that Jesus' fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. As word of Jesus' healing people spread, desperate mothers, heartbroken fathers, aching spouses were bringing their sick to Jesus for healing. But Jesus left. Though he was told, "Everyone is looking for you," Jesus said he should move on to nearby villages. These were smaller places than Capernaum. The Greek word is market villages, places too small to be called a city. Although Jesus could really pack them in with healing, there was no numbers chasing here. And there seems to be a lack of compassion, doesn't there? Unless, that is, healing wasn't what Jesus was all about. Look at the text. What did Jesus say his purpose was for going elsewhere? To heal people? No. So, literally, in order that I can preach there also. Jesus went elsewhere to do what I'm doing here right now. Not healing, not cheering people up, but sermonizing. And note, after Jesus says he goes elsewhere to preach, he explains, "That is why I have come." The text ends by summarizing Jesus' whole Galilean ministry as preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. No send in the doctors, no send in the clowns, but send in the preachers. In a nutshell, we can say Jesus does not clown around when it comes to law and sin. But he does with sickness and even death. That'll take some explaining. First, Jesus didn't clown around with the law. He took it on in its real sense and even its exaggerated sense. Did you note how the Holy Spirit emphasized when the people started to bring their sick and demonized for help? It emphasizes that it was evening after sunset. Although Jesus had cast out a demon that Sabbath morning and had healed Peter's mother-in-law that noon, they waited. It was only once the sun had set that the Sabbath was officially over. Their exaggerated Sabbath law prohibited them from seeking healing and freedom from demons before them. Several times, you'll recall, that Jesus confronted them with the fact that even God's law permitted animals to be helped on the Sabbath. You might not realize it, but you do what they did. It's not just the real law of God that convicts you, but the ones you exaggerate. Some people feel morally guilty because they cannot make everyone around them happy. Some people feel culpable before God because they don't have the talents that other people do. Some people are convicted for not being happy enough, optimistic enough, smart enough, or outgoing enough. I'm here to tell you that Jesus does not clown around with the law. He kept it all. God's Ten Commandments and the 10,000 more you have made up for him. All that God really required of men, all that men secretly require of themselves, and all that the devils and others sinfully require too. Jesus kept them all. Jesus fulfilled it all. Don't let your conscience be persecuted. Don't let it be haunted by a fulfilled law. As people carried their sick to Jesus and came away with certain healing, you carry your guilty conscience to Jesus with the certainty that your conscience will be healed as their bodies were. Jesus can heal physically today, when and where it pleases him. But that is not his greatest work or his greatest benefit. And healing was not the purpose that he came for. But you are to see that what Jesus does physically in the Gospels for some, he can do spiritually for all today. Look at the healing of Peter's mother-in-law. The insert translates, "the fever left her." But "left" is the usual word translated for forgiving someone. You could translate, "and he forgave her the fever." I am not trying to tell you that Jesus thinks feverish people are guilty of something. I am telling you that Jesus forgives sins like he healed fevers. Completely and definitely. Restoring people immediately. So many Christians come out of church like they walk in with their sins. Oh, they hear forgiveness in the absolution, in the hymns, in the preaching, in the sacrament. But they only take some of it home. They leave church as the walking wounded, still carrying their sins, maybe as a shadow, maybe as a smudge, maybe as a stain, but still carrying them. Don't do that. That's not how Jesus forgives sins, because that's not how Jesus paid for sins. First, he carried all the sins of all the world to the cross. Second, he drained all the cup of God's wrath against sins and sinners. Third, he was a wrath-removing sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Jesus bought and paid for sins. He owns them. They are his to do with as he pleases. Your sins, they don't belong to you, your conscience, or other people, or the devil for that matter. Your sins belong to Jesus. As he instantly healed Peter's mother-in-law and she bounced up to serve him, so he has instantly forgiven you today. As Pete's mom-in-law had no lingering weakness, you are to have no lingering guiltiness. As she counted herself no more among the sickly, you are to count yourself no more among the guilty. Jesus does not clown around with law and sin, so you don't either. But Jesus does clown around with sickness and even death. And when the Christian is face to face with these, he can too. We can clown around with these because Jesus has taken the law away from ruling our conscience. The law in sickness and in death shouts and it even shrieks, "You deserve this because of your sins. Your suffering, misery, dying is payback for laws broken." But Paul says, where there is no law, there is no guilt. So we can laugh in the face of sickness and death. The very worst that these can do is deliver us to the one who delivered us from the law of sin and death. Send in the clowns. There ought to be clowns when the Christian is facing sickness and death. Why? Because Jesus bore our infirmities in his body and died our death, the death a sinner deserves. The scripture says three times that God laughs. What makes God laugh every time is the plotting of men against him. Death and devil, they say you are theirs, and God laughs at them, and you should too. You have been bought with a price. You have been redeemed. Your sins have been forever paid for. Death and devil assert that you have sold your soul to them by sinning. Jesus laughs. You can't sell what he owns. You can't use your sins for money because he bought them from you with his innocent life, suffering, and death. You know how sending the clowns ends? After saying that they should be sent, after asking where are the clowns, after saying they ought to be here, quick, so send them in, the song concludes, "Don't bother, they're here." The point is, we're the clowns. Yes, we are. We joke about the threats of a fulfilled law and forgiven sins. We joke about what sickness and death can do to the forgiven sinner. Send in the clowns, don't bother, we're here. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.